I didn't say Happy Earth Day. Is it Earth Day today? Pardon? Happy Earth Day tomorrow. Thank you. I thought it happened on Sundays. What happened? They changed something? I don't know. Anyway, pardon? Every 7 years it comes on Sunday. Okay. For a music director, you're full of information, you know. Yeah, okay. So there was a guy who was on a train, and it was a Sunday morning. And as the train slowed down at a station, he got up to get out. And the conductor said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but this train does not stop here. It just slows down." The guy looked really disappointed. He said, but my daughter's going to meet me here. He said, "Okay, fine. Here, I got an idea. It really does slow down. What I will do is I will help you down, but you've got to start running like you're while you're in the air." So he grabbed him by his coat, and he grabbed him by the seat of his pants, and he held him out over the train, and the guy starts moving his legs, puts him down, and sure enough, it works. Matter of fact, he's got so much momentum, he goes past the car where the conductor is and goes to the next car, and he's running next to that. Guy sees him, grabs him by his coat, grabs him by his pants, picks him up, puts him back in the car, and says, "The train doesn't stop here. You're lucky to get on." That's it. So anyway, what does it say here? No assumptions, please. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to finish up the four agreements, the second session on it, and I need to do a little review, obviously. So let me see how this works. It did work, yes. And so the four agreements is a book by Don, and Don is not his first name. That's a title. It's actually spelled D-O-N with a little D. Don Miguel Ruiz. And Don Miguel wrote this book based on Toltec philosophy and Toltec history and what they taught during the days of the Toltec in Mexico. He is a direct descendant of the Toltecs and is considered to be an enlightened one. And so what he is saying is that if you and I will live to four specific agreements, we will improve the way we see ourselves, we will improve the way we see others, and we will actually be able to enjoy life more. And these are not easy agreements, because as you can see here, the first agreement, this worked a second ago. The first agreement is somebody on PowerPoint. Take me to the next one, please. Well, the first agreement, okay, is, be impeccable with your word. We talked about this last week. And basically what that means is you allow the divine that you are, the divine ideas that you have, to become divine expressions in your life and in the world. That's what happens. And when you do that, you then are living in alignment with universal law. You are living in alignment with that which is within you, called the Christ or the I Am. And when you're able to do that, now you're beginning to be impeccable with your word. Now, sometimes we, get away from that because we are in the human condition, but it doesn't mean that you're a failure. It simply means that you just got to get a little better with it. And so we have that. The second agreement we talked about last week was don't take anything personally. Did anybody this week take anything personally? Oh, come on. Yeah, all right, yeah. I did once a day. Anyway, and so don't take anything personally. And what that means, basically, is that when I take something personally, I am believing that what the person said is true. And it may not be. It probably isn't. Or when somebody says something to me and I take it personally, what's happening is I am then turning around and remembering something from the past that upset me, and then I become upset again because of what happened in the past, not what's happening right now. Now, the third one I want to talk just for a few minutes about is, you know, don't make any assumptions. It's interesting, there's a study that was recently done about 2025 and what people believe 2025 will be like based on our past with the COVID. 47% of the people said 2025 will be worse, the worst year we've had in years. 47% of the people. 39% said it's going to be better. I'm going to listen to the 39%. And then there was the group of people who said, I don't know. 14%, I think, if that adds up. But basically, what's happening is they are making an assumption. And with the kind of world that we appear to be living in today, the way it affects us, what they were really saying is, I don't see not just COVID. I don't see the world getting any better in 2025. The wars, the issues, all the things that are going on in our world that we need to pay attention to. But what they're saying is, I don't have any hope that it's going to get any better. And yet what we know is that we progress, we evolve, we don't go backwards. And understanding it, knowing that, and keeping that in our minds and keeping our values in our minds, we then can say 2025 is going to be the best year I've ever had. It's up to us. What are you predicting? What are you saying? And so the assumption in that kind of case really puts people down, if you would. But it is an assumption. There's another thing about assumptions. They have an iceberg effect. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you look at the story of the Titanic, you know exactly what that means. Okay? That on the top of the iceberg, the tip, is what we see. But below, we cannot see. And we have no idea what's going on down there. And so we live sometimes in an iceberg effect. We look at what's going on or appears to be going on, and we assume that is the truth. And when we assume it is the truth, we then create the bottom of the iceberg out of assumptions. And that can get us in all kinds of trouble. Because when I assume that I'm going to hit that iceberg because it's so big, I can't miss it, then we start to make the assumption that I am not enough, that life is tough, and sometimes it is, that the world is not going to get better, that underneath what I see is the tip of the iceberg, all the issues going on in our lives today. They've been going on for years, by the way. They just promote them better. We know more about it quicker. And so it doesn't mean things are getting worse. It might mean, in my sense, is that I'm getting a better view of what I don't want in my life. And I can change that. I can choose how I live my life and how I show up and what I think and who I am. I don't have to make assumptions to do that. Now, the last agreement he talked about is keep your word. No, it's not. What am I saying? What was that? Do the best you can. And my eyes are doing the best they can. So as we understand that, do the best you can in a moment. The illustration I like to use is, you know, I'm running a mile, let's say. And in that mile, I can run maybe 5.5 minutes. Then I run that same mile 5 minutes later. Right? I think I talked about this. And so I don't run it in 5.5. I run it in 6.5 minutes. And I'm disappointed in myself. Isn't that silly? Because what's happening is I am doing the best I can in both cases. With our children, no matter their age, do the best you can. And if you make a mistake, and we all do, Know that they will forgive you because they love you. And know that you can ask for forgiveness from your children, especially as they get older, especially if there's a disconnect, especially if there's hurt and pain. And it does happen. But cross the bridge. Take the first step if you need to communicate, and not to fix, but to repair what might be misconceptions, assumptions, and that at a given point we didn't do the best that we could. And so doing the best that we can means that I get to try again, that I don't have to be perfect every moment relative to my ability to do something at a given level. And as you do that, you start to feel better about yourself, and you start to do the things that are necessary to repair anything in your world that needs repair. You become aware, and you accept where you are. It's in that awareness and acceptance that we're able to grow and able to become the best that we can be in a given moment. Do not judge yourself. Remember, in your world, in our world, that each of us becomes our own judge, our own jury. We become our own prosecutor, and we become our own defendant. And when that happens, we are living in a world that's been created by culture, not our own world. And one of the things we do as we grow and get older is we start to differentiate how we show up and who we are. We don't always agree with labels that were put on us. I mean, in high school, I was called Four Eyes. Why? Because I had glasses that were about as thick as the bottom of a Coca-Cola glass. I mean, they were really heavy-duty glasses. And so some of the kids would tease me about that. And then I had red hair when I had hair. You know? Yeah. So anyway, what happened is that I took that personally, of course, as a young person. But as I grew up, I realized that wasn't who I was. I'm not my glasses, you know? I'm not my hair. I'd like to have more, but I'm not that. I'm not even how I look. I'm something beyond that, something more than that. And as I started to grow, I started to understand myself and look at myself and begin to understand who I am and what I am. Exactly what you are love. Exactly what you are integrity. Exactly what you are creativity. Exactly what you are divine. As I grew into that and started to understand that, it gave me a perspective on myself that really gave me the ability, I think, to be a lot more objective and yet have the emotions that go with it. When I applied here at Unity Renaissance, a question was asked me, in your ministry, did you ever have a moment where you really felt like you messed something up? You know, did something wrong? And what I wanted to say, well, oh no. Would that have been a lie? And what came to me was a situation where there were two people at odds in the church. And some of my training has been to be really objective, to go into objectivity with no emotion. And both of the people heard me, but they didn't feel anything coming from me. And so they felt hurt. Over time, I realized this, and I made amends with each of those individuals and recognized what I had done and asked for their forgiveness. And all of a sudden, we were able to talk again. And then it gave them the ability to talk to each other because they trusted me, bring them together. But for a couple of weeks, they were like, you know, what's going on here? You're supposed to be my friend. You're supposed to be my minister. And what I was an objective individual sitting there listening to the story and showing no emotion whatsoever because I wanted to be fair. Okay? And so as we begin to understand in our relationships that we make mistakes, we then can turn around and change those mistakes. And we can be even better than we were before. Now, I ask a few questions here, and I'm going to warn the camera people, I'm moving to the platform. And the first question I ask is, my whole life I have struggled with feelings of inadequacy, particularly when around people in positions of authority or those whose intelligence I feel far exceeds my own. How can I make a lasting change in this area? Believe who you really are. If somebody called you stupid one time in your life, especially when you're a child, and it hurt, and it was somebody you respected, then what happens is you carry that with you. And over time, maybe you do know that you really are intelligent. You got great grades in school. You got great grades in college. You do great work. And you know you're intelligent. But if your boss says to you, you are acting stupid, how could you act that way? It will bring back that statement that was given to you as a child. And you may find yourself getting angry. What we really have to do is understand that we are adequate. Understand that we do not believe about ourselves what that person is saying. Understand that person doesn't really know us that well. I don't care if they've worked with us for 10 years. They really do not know us that well. And if I know myself, then I can just say, oh, that's interesting. I am stupid sometimes and laugh rather than getting all tight or wanting to quit the job. So as we have that kind of question, we start to understand that the biggest thing is that you are fine just the way you are, and that each of us is, that we are filled with love and understanding. The next question is, I am doing my best not to take anything personally. I understand it's not about me, but when people criticize me or say something hurtful, I still really feel awful. What am I doing wrong? Oh, well, you're being human. But you know what you're doing? You're believing that person is telling you the truth. And they may not know you that well. Or you're comparing yourself to someone else. You know, when I'm on a golf course, I do not compare myself to Tiger Woods. And neither would Tiger Woods, okay? And so if I try to play golf and feel like I should end up under par, like Tiger Woods does sometimes, then I'm going to be disappointed in myself. I'm not going to be happy with my game, and I'm going to stop enjoying what I enjoy the most in my life when it comes to sports. It's my choice. If I do the best that I can, I'm doing fine, and not take anything else personally. Remember, when we take something personally, we are buying into what the other person is saying. We're forgetting that they really don't know us, and I don't know them. We're forgetting that what they're saying to me is, you know, I'm telling you what I believe about you because I believe it about myself. I'm coming from my experience, not your experience. When I start to think of it that way, I can then allow myself not to take things personally, not to get caught up in what somebody else thinks, because really, it's not important. Then the next question, how do I develop the discipline to apply the four agreements? Practice. practice. And again, don't get discouraged if you keep it for one day and the next day you're off. The nice thing is you can be aware and you can be accepting of what happened. And then we can step into this awareness and say, oh, I wasn't keeping my word. I may want to go and make amends. I may want to straighten it out if it's really important. Or I may say, you know, I didn't keep my word with myself. And so I forgive myself. I don't judge myself. If it comes from somebody else's viewpoint, I can forgive that person and not judge myself or judge them. Because part of the four agreements is being all about how I show up based on what I believe. You know, in unity, we have certain values. We have love as a value here at Unity of Richmond, Unity of Renaissance. Whew, the years go by. Unity of Renaissance. We have love, and we know it. We feel it. We experience it. And your value says that we're going to share that with one another. We have creativity. We're going to be creative. We have spiritual growth, and that comes in two ways. One, there's the spiritual growth that you experience individually and continue to experience, and that's why you keep come here for 30, 40 years. Because you know there's always this opportunity to grow spiritually. And then there is another spiritual growth that I would mention to you, and that is, and you experience this, that is the growth of the ministry itself. And so as I start to understand this opportunity to grow, I start to live within my value system. I begin to see myself showing up. I begin to feel myself showing up. And when I do that, I'm able to step in and be the Christ that I am. Each and every one of us can do that. We're all doing it here at Unity Renaissance. I see it. If nothing I have learned about Unity Renaissance is that you guys have values and you live by your values. That you are people who care for one another. I mean, sometimes we get requests about somebody who maybe has an issue, a health issue, or whatever it might be, and people want to help them out. And they got all, I mean, like five ideas will come up all at one time on a phone call. And sometimes those people don't want that help. So, in our caring, we have to listen to what they want and not assume what they want, right? And that's important. At the same time, we are doing the best we can. Each and every one of you are doing the best you can to support the people in this ministry. And it's beautiful. It is a beautiful picture to behold, especially as an interim minister. And so I congratulate you on that. And your spirit, your creativity, I mentioned that. And then you have community. Boy, I don't know where you can go anywhere else to have any more community than you guys have, okay? Every night of the week. In the daytime. On Sundays. We have community. And one of the things that's a key ingredient to community is having lunch together. Sitting and nibbling something together and talking. That's an important part of community. When I was in El Paso, obviously the church was about 70% Hispanic, okay, Mexican-American. And what would happen is that we would have a big meal every Sunday. Huge meals, because that's the culture. I only gained 20 pounds during that time. And I had somebody to blame. No. But basically, you see, coming together, the community together, is so vitally important. And again, I'm not telling you something you don't know. You do it beautifully. And so to live in these four agreements means that we adopt the values that we say we are. It means that we become the mission and the vision that we say we are. And we become aware of it. We become aware of it. And that's the hardest part to do. And when I do that, I am now taking my values, putting them together with the four agreements, and coming up with a life that says yes. Life that says, I am the Christ. A life that says, I am love. A life that says, I am compassionate. And so, it's still not going. There we go. Back to the four agreements again. So, we're having a class on the four agreements. We've got one more class left. Anybody's welcome to sit in if you'd like. We're having some really healthy, I think, and good discussions, and it's a great class. Not because of me, because of the people in it. I want to straighten that out. And there's one more Wednesday that's coming, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And if you haven't been at all, you're welcome to come. It's online. You can get online through our website and try it out. Maybe get just a little more of what are these four agreements and why are they important in my life. I'm thankful for the book. I'm thankful for Don Miguel and his son, by the way, who also travels and promotes it, who I had a chance to meet and talk with, and the work that is done and how it blends in so beautifully with unity teachings. It's just a different way of teaching the same thing. You are love. You are life. You are the Christ. Thank you. So let's prepare for this time of prayer and meditation. And as you do, I would like for you to gently close your eyes. And yet at the same time, you hear the music. Feel the energy in this room at this moment and going across the airwaves to all who are participating. And you know this energy comes through you and is you. You are creating the energy. And that's why you can feel one another. And find yourself in this moment of going deeper. Going to that place where you know yourself. Allowing the energy that you are, the spirit that you are, to be released. So that you are a divine expression. Released. So that you know you have the ability to forgive, to let go, and to live life fully. And in order to completely feel and experience this energy in this moment, let's now go into the silence. Into the silence. And now allow the antenna that you are to feel the energy and to know all is well. Amen.
Flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding.
Thank you.